ラッタッタッタッタララダラッタッタッタッタララダラッタッタッタッタララダダララダラダラダラダダ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Helen.
And I'm Caroline.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are chatting with Michelle Morris of That Black Chick and Sewn Magazine. Michelle returned to sewing 5 years ago and was inspired to start her own magazine after seeing a lack of representation in other publications. We talk about all the work that goes into such a huge project and her joyful approach to creating garments.
And her denim ceiling.
Yeah, it's true. She has denim on her ceiling.
Like, literally.
Like, actually.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are so excited to get a chance to chat with you. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I'm Michelle. I'm blogging over at That Black Chick and the publisher and editor, owner, do-all person of Sewn Magazine.
Amazing. And where are you from, Michelle?
I'm in Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia.
Wonderful. And we always ask our guests at the beginning of the interview to share their sewing story with us. So can you tell us how and when you learned how to sew?
So I learned how to sew. I think I was like about 10 or 11 years old. And I think my learn of sewing came from more necessity than just trying to learn how to sew. Because when we were younger, we didn't have much. So I was always trying to refashion. Man, I was refashioning before that was a real thing. So sewing with my hand, trying to make something because we couldn't afford to get this. So I was sewing this with my hand. So I did a lot of hand sewing. And then when I was in middle school, we had home economics. And that's when I was introduced to a sewing machine. And I was sewing like forever. And then when I got older, I had kids, I stopped sewing for a while. And I jumped back in like 2013 is when I jumped back in with the blogging and the sewing. So
what was the motivation to start your blog?
Well, I didn't know too much about blogs then, right? So I'm learning about blogs. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm a serial picture taker. I was like, I can put it on this platform and show people. I was like, I was all about it. So I really started a blog because I wanted to share my photographs with everyone. And it didn't start out as a sewing blog. I was just putting pictures out there of different things. And then I think I noticed Mimi G's blog and I learned that there was a sewing blog out there. I'm like, what is this? So I made something and then I put it on the blog and I noticed I got a bigger response from that than anything else that I was posting. I was like, wait a minute. So that's when I jumped back into sewing, really.
That's amazing. And your blog, I have to say, is legendary. I mean, every time you make something, I'm all over it because you make some of the funnest things out there in the blogging sewing world, I think.
Thank you so much.
So we would love to know, what's your favorite thing about being a sewing blogger and sharing your work online?
I think the reaction a lot of time now is what I thrive for, what it feeds me right at this moment. Because I know that there's some things that I want to create and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to just do this and I'm going to put it out there and see the reaction. So it's so amazing the reactions I get for some of the things that I know it's not everybody's cup of tea and it's not going to be, but I'm like, if you're talking about it, I did my job. So I think that's right now that motivates me the most to see what people are going to think of what I did.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because you have mentioned that you think of sewing as art. And I'm wondering what you mean by that and kind of how you sort of decided to channel art into sewing, you know, like kind of make your sewing and your garments more of art pieces.
Well, so first, my background in schooling that I had is always been art. Like, I've always been involved in something artistic. And when I started making clothes, even when I was younger, like, it was a way to express myself. Like, I was hand sewing appliques, cutting out fabric in the letters, cutting out fabric in the shapes and sewing it on by hand. And I always, for some reason, I just looked at it. I was like, okay, this is a piece of art. So like I used to, it was always wearable art to me when I made something. And I was like, and I couldn't wait to make something for someone else, my friends. I'm like, I got a great idea. Let me make this for you. So it was always in me that clothing that I made was artwork. And then when I got older and got into all the different fabrics and everything, it just opened up more. And I'm just like, this is like, you know, I my blog, the clothes that I make on my blog are not clothes that are going to be worn every single day. And I know, you know, they're extreme. They're like those runway clothes that you're going to look at it once and you might not wear some of the pieces, but it's whatever I'm feeling at that time and I'm making. And I just want to just share that.
We love that sentiment. And I think the community is looking for excuses sometimes to make more of those fun projects. Like there was that whole So Frosting challenge and you do that so well. You just sort of go with your heart and you make what really speaks to you, even if it's not going to be worn all the time.
Yes.
But your daughter models most of the things on your blog. Can you tell us a little bit about her and how she models for you?
Sure. She does. And that, I think that happened by accident, because I was like, when I first made the pants for her, then I was like, okay, I'm going to make these clothes, but I'm always behind the camera. I'm not in front of the camera. I'll tell you that right now. And I was like, I'm not going to be modeling these clothes. So, you know, so I decided, you know, you're going to be my muse and I'm going to make the clothes for you. But it's so, if you guys saw behind the scenes with Maury, because she's so funny, she doesn't always, and I tell everybody, she doesn't always like the clothes that I make. And they're, you know, so she's not accepting of all the outfits. And she lets me know along the way, like, I don't know about this, Mom. And I was like, just let me do what I'm doing. So I make it, we fit it on her, you know, and sometimes if she really doesn't like it, it's a struggle to get the photo shoot started, because she's like, I'm not going to wear this. I don't really feel good in this. And then by the end of it, she changes her mind because she gets into the modeling. But it's just, you know, I tell her some of the pieces I know she's not going to like, even when I get ready to start making them. But it's just what I wanted to make at that time. So there are pieces that I will always keep in my collection for my personal self, of things that I know that she'll never wear again, or pieces that I thought were really exciting to make that she doesn't agree with. So she told me though recently, she was like, you got to find another model, Mom, because I'm getting tired.
Well, I have to say, it doesn't really show at all in the pictures that if and when she's not into it, because she always is just like glowing and she has such a great energy. I think she wears the clothes that you make so well. And that was one of the questions that we wanted to ask you, was does she then go on to wear some of these handmade garments, or are they more of a collection for you and maybe for her? And is she more of like a muse or just a model for you, or does she wear those clothes?
She does wear them some now. Some of the way out there stuff, no. And I make them going in knowing that she's probably not going to wear this. But she'll wear like the blazers, the pants that I make. She'll wear them. But like, yeah, there are some pieces that just like when I make it, I'm making it because I want to make it. And I know this is going to be hanging in my collection.
I'm wondering if you have any advice for our listeners who are, you know, listening to you talk and thinking of a project that they might like to make, but getting past that roadblock of knowing that it's not going to be worn out there in the world, or that it's not going to be used, but instead sewing it just because they want to sew it. Do you have any tips for them?
I say it's always nice. Let me tell you, it's always nice to have something that you made. And I think that's one of the biggest pluses of us making clothes with our hands. It's always nice to have something creative hanging around. I have a big frame downstairs in my sewing room, and I'll hang an outfit up there in a minute. And that's my artwork. And I'm walking by that for a while. I'll switch that out with something else. But it's always nice to make something that you want to make, even if it's not something that's going to be worn. Maybe not as much as I make, but every now and then I just say, go for it. And if, you know, if you don't wear it, you can have it in your collection. You can always look back at it. And, you know, you're not hurting anybody. Don't spend a whole lot of money on the fabric if you're never going to wear it. But I say do it every now and then.
Yeah, I think it's really important because for so many of us, sewing isn't just out of necessity. Right. It really is a way for us to express ourselves creatively, and kind of going out of your comfort zone every once in a while, I think is really important, and it sort of stretches those creative muscles for us. And you do that a lot.
Absolutely.
But I'm also curious, do you sew for yourself? And when you do you mostly sew those kind of crazy out there things, or do you tend to sew some more wearable pieces that you would wear on the day to day?
I make the wearable pieces for me.
Yeah.
Maury gets the crazy stuff and you get the basics. Yeah.
I think for my 50th birthday, I made something that that's not going to be worn every day. I did make myself an outfit. But for the basic, yeah, I make clothes that I can wear.
Yeah.
And do you have a favorite project of yours that we could point our listeners to if they want to go check out something that you're really proud of?
I think in the sewing, two things. When I was part of the Ripping Ain't Easy contest, I think those are, I mean, because that thing pushed me to be creative. And when I made the dress out of the trash bags, like that was my crown and glory moment. Cause I was like, I wove this trash bag and I was like, this is so dope. I was like, this, I love this. So I think that's the most creative I've gotten. But that trash bag dress and then the tiered gown that I made for that contest with the jeweled top, those two were really exciting pieces to make.
Awesome. Okay. We'll link those in the show notes so everyone can see them for sure. It's okay. A true trash to treasure moment.
I like that.
And you also have a partnership with Husqvarna Viking, and we were wondering if we could ask you some questions about that.
Absolutely. Shoot.
So how did you get involved with them, and what is your partnership like? Like, what's your role there?
All right. So they got in touch with me and asked me if I wanted to work with them. And I was like, sure. I hadn't heard of the brand. I could barely say the name. And I had to write it. I have this big poster. It's so funny, in my office. And I phonetically wrote Husqvarna so I could be able to say it when I was talking to them. I was like, I can't get this name wrong. So I've gotten two machines from them. The most recent machine I've gotten from them is their new Designer Brilliance 80 series machine. So they embroider, and it's just a partnership with them for a year. And I got two exciting machines that I've yet to touch the surface on what they can do. So I got to get moving with that because I got to get those embroidery hoops out there. But so it's a year-long partnership with Husqvarna. And so far, I'm loving both of the machines that they gave me.
That's cool. So you use the machines and then you talk about them a little bit in your blog posts and things like
right,
that.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, so on my page, I don't usually have pictures of machines. So that was new for me. And I'm like, okay, I got to throw some pictures of machines in there because I do have to show the machine. I do have to, promote the machine because they give me a machine and I'm trying to tell people a couple of different things about the machine. So I have to finagle, I don't even know the word that I want to use, try to fit them in with my aesthetics of my blog. Or my Instagram page, but I'm just trying to get the word out there about the machine and what the machine can do. I think people are real receptive to videos, but you know what? I don't know how people do videos because it takes me forever to get a video that I can use.
Yeah,
we can relate. We're not video people.
So I just have to post, some information about the machine, about the product in order, so that I can keep the product.
That's awesome. And that's really exciting that you're partnering with a sewing machine company like Husqvarna, because I think it's a natural partnership. You love sewing. You love talking right. And vlogging about sewing. So partnering with a sewing machine company seems like just a perfect marriage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we recently did an episode all about sewing machines. So I'm curious, what is your favorite machine to sew on right now and why do you love it?
Well, right now I'm only sewing on the Husqvarna Designer, the Brilliance 80. That's the machine that I'm sewing on. And let me tell you, what I like about this machine is that, first of all, it's huge. And I love a big machine because when I had a smaller machine, trying to maneuver some things around, and because I've only ever had smaller machines, I didn't really realize I was missing out until I got this machine. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I can slide this in here. I can fit this around there. And then this machine affords me a little bit of opportunity to do extra things that I have yet to learn, like embroidery. Like, I really want to get into that because this is supposed to be a beast on embroidery. But I'm digging this machine right now, and I've had it for about the Brilliance I've had about for 4 months now.
That's so cool. I also would love to experiment with embroidery. I feel like it's such a cool way to add like a special touch to your garment.
If right.
you're embroidering like a yoke or a pocket or something like that. I'm sure you'll do something way cooler than that even with it.
So Michelle's going to think bigger than a pocket.
I know. I can't wait to see what you come up with that.
I got plans. Yeah. But some of those, one of the things about I was talking to the lady in the store about the Brilliance, and I said, maybe I ought to come in here and get a lesson going on embroidery. She was like, if you know how to sew, the embroidery part is easy. I was like, but, you know, computers can be intimidating. And when I look at the book, I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I'm going to be in front of YouTube for sure with that one.
So our last question before we move on is, where do you get your inspiration from?
And oh, my goodness. Inspiration. It doesn't take much to give me inspiration. Honestly, people inspire me, everything. It's just something catches my eye. I'll tell you one time I made this outfit. I saw this little girl. I was out shopping. I saw this little girl and she must have had a moment with her mom, you know, that let's go. We're going out to the store. I need you to put on some clothes. And she won the battle that day because this little girl, she was out there. She had a tutu on. She had a camouflage jacket. She had these pink rain boots and she had a polka dot shirt on. And I was like, that when I saw that, I was like, that's amazing, right? But I know mom lost the battle that day. But that inspired me to come home and create something. I got my polka dot fabric out. I didn't mix the camo in it because I didn't have any and I was working with what I had, but it doesn't really take much. Like, I can just see something and just be inspired by anything. It really doesn't take much.
That's amazing. So do you have a really large fabric stash then so that you can run home and make whatever you want?
Oh my God. My fabric stash is so crazy. Like right now so I use my basement as my sewing studio, and in there I have it all on the shelves. And then behind the dividing wall, I got all the clear containers, and on my filing cabinets, I got fabric everywhere. I don't even have it all in one room. And I just keep buying more. And I keep saying, you can't stop.
So like lining the walls.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
That's awesome. Yes. Okay. Follow up question. Cause you were talking about how you saw this little girl then went home and made an outfit. So do you sew every day? Is that something that you try to do every single day?
I, you know what? It hits me in spurts when I sew every day. I haven't sewn every day for a little while now. So I tried. Sometimes I just have to make myself get out there and sew. Like yesterday, I got a couple of things due, and I was like, Michelle, if you don't go downstairs and sew for at least an hour. So sometimes it's a little bit hard, but other times I want to roll. I got some things going on. You know, I got some ideas. And I just go for it. But no, I don't sew every day. I try to make sure I hit the sewing machine a couple of times a week, though, for sure.
It sounds like hitting the gym. Yeah, hit that sewing machine. All right, let's switch gears a bit and talk about Sewn Magazine, because okay. That's one of the reasons why we were really excited to get a chance to talk with you. We were interviewing Carolyn Norman, and she was chatting with us a bit about Sewn because she has an article or a column in your magazine. So we wanted to hear more about this magazine. So tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Absolutely. So the first thing is that the people who know about Sewn, they think Sewn is I'm just going to say Black magazine, African-American, whatever you want to put the label on it. But it really isn't. It all came about because one time I bought a sewing magazine, and I don't really buy sewing magazines. And I had bought a sewing magazine, and I'm looking at this magazine and I'm looking at the contributors that are, you know, submitting for this magazine. And I'm like, there's not one person of color. And I'm like, hold on. So then I bought a total of 12 magazines, and some were high end magazines, some were low end magazines. I went from $7 to $25 in my magazine range. And in all those magazines, I only saw one ethnic person and she was Indian. And I was like, this is crazy. I was like, this is so crazy. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a magazine. I'm going to start. So I started putting out the surveys and everything to see what other people thought. Even I wanted all feedback, good, bad, ugly. I wanted it all because I know some of it was going to come, you know. But what I want to say about Sewn Magazine is that it's not an African-American magazine. It is a sewing magazine, and it's geared more towards fashion. And it is a magazine that's all inclusive. Yes, you're going to see more African-American people in there because that's what was missing from the national product. And that's the reason why I started it. But you're going to see all ethnicities in the magazine. And it's just about pretty magazine with pictures of people making stuff, some tutorials, some patterns, and just, you know, things that I wanted to share, but in a different way, I think, than all the other sewing magazines.
Well, we love that you decided to start this magazine, and the story behind it is very inspiring, and good for you for seeing something and just taking action and doing something that you can do to make a difference.
Right.
So how often does your magazine come out?
So it's a bi-monthly magazine. And I figured I wouldn't want to do this for each month, but you know what? It feels like I'm doing it each month. So it comes out every 2 months, and I try to keep the pages right around 85 pages. I feature any kind of different artists. I'm always looking for an artist that maybe everybody doesn't know about, or someone who's doing something that's really nice that I think I should share with people. Some bloggers out there, some people you know in the magazine, some people you don't, some you know, some designers you might know, some you might not. Just want to introduce people to people who are making really nice stuff or really interesting things.
So how do you connect with these people that you're featuring in your magazine? Do you have a place where people can kind of submit themselves, or is this all sort of happening organically?
Some, a little bit of all. So anyone can submit. You can definitely submit something to us, and we're definitely open to looking at, you know, people's work and working things out. Some people I've met in different places. Some people I reach out to, I'm like, if I see something really, you know, online, Instagram, Facebook, or online, I just go and, you know, just look for different things online, and I'll get in touch with people. So it's a little bit of a lot of things trying to get new people and new faces involved in the magazine.
And we have so many questions about this magazine because it does seem like it's a lot of work. And I know you mentioned that you feel like you're doing it every mm-hmm. month. So I'm curious, like, how has that reality of creating a bi-monthly magazine sort of differed from that expectation that you had when you first came up with the idea?
So a lot, a whole lot. So I think I didn't really, hindsight, I didn't really think about how much work I was going to have to actually put into this magazine, like myself. Like, I knew I was always going to be, you know, doing something to it, but like, I'm doing a lot of the work. And I hadn't really thought about that, or, you know, and there's some things you learn along the way, because, you know, I'm just like, I'm going to put out a magazine, and it's going to be a hard copy. And I'm going to publish it, edit it, and I'm going to get the people. So, you know, I'm doing a lot because I feel like when I do something, I'm like, I'm a control freak. I'll just say that. I'm a control freak. So when I let other people do stuff, I'm like, I'm double checking their stuff. So I might as well do it myself. So I got to learn to let go of some of that and let some other people take some roles. And I do have to just find a few key people to put in the magazine to make it easier for me, because right now I am doing a lot of the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems like on your site, there's a team of contributors or mm-hmm. a team of people that are helping you regularly. So what kind of roles do you have happening at Sewn Magazine right now?
Right. So the roles, I do have a team of contributors so that I can definitely count on their projects per issue. And then I have Maury. She's doing a lot of the editorial work. I do have two people who are writing for me in the magazine. And I do have, a sewer.
I mean, it's all good.
I do have a seamstress that sews the items that are in the magazine that Maury is wearing. So it's either me sewing it, which I really can't do that and do my blog. So I, a lot of times the outfits that Maury's wearing in the magazine, I do have a seamstress who is making, who are making those outfits. I'm designing them or hacking the pattern or whatever, but she is the actual one that's putting them together. I have Carolyn does the column in every issue. So that's my basic team. And then everybody else is in between. So I will get new contributors per issue, or I have some repeat contributors that I bring in per issue. So that is all, that all fluctuates with the rest of the people, but those are my key people.
That's cool. So with the garments that you're talking about being sewn for the magazine, you're saying that you're coming up with like hacks and doing different patterns, maybe designing things yourself. Yeah. How do you decide what you're going to put in there? Do you have like themes for each month? And you mentioned it being a bit more of a fashion focused magazine. Right. So is it kind of like what you would expect if you were opening a fashion magazine where there's an editorial spread?
Yes, absolutely. So that's, yeah, that's more, and that's all, what I've always seen it as, more of a fashion magazine. So it's not your regular magazine. Like you can't compare it to like a Threads or a Sew News, because they're more technical and they're really, you know, involved with the sewing aspect of it. My magazine is more, even though we have tutorials in there, it's more towards someone making a garment and styling the garment. Maybe they're telling you what they did. My contributors are either doing some research on a particular item, like one of the contributors, she made some activewear, and then she did a story on what's the best fabrics, what are the threads and the things like that. It wasn't a tutorial, but she did create something in there. And so the styling and the picture, the ambiance, it has to be like fashion. That's what I'm looking for.
Awesome. And does Maury always model for the editorial spreads?
She does. And I'm looking to bring other people in. It's just so much easier for me with Maury. But I was like, you know what? I got to bring some new faces in here to model some of the clothes that I'm putting out there for the magazine. So I'm going to be integrating some new models in there along with Maury for the magazine.
So can you take us behind the scenes a little bit of producing a sewing magazine like this? I kind of want to know, like, what is the production timeline? Like, how far ahead are you working? What are the kinds of things that go into making a physical magazine?
A lot. No.
We're not letting you off that easy.
Oh, man. Okay. So this year, this is our second year into the magazine. So this year, I'm a lot smarter than I was last year. Of course, I have to be. If not, then I don't need to be doing it. So I've learned that because I contribute to other magazines, right? So I know the lead time they have is a year. They have a year. There's no way that I, at this point, can get that kind of lead time, but I have learned to get it where I am, like right now, people are just submitting projects that are going into the July issue. Okay. So I'm a little bit ahead. That way I get the information in and I got time to play with it, get it set up. If it needs editing, then I'll have time to do it. Like, ideally, I would want at least like a 6 month lead time with projects. And I'm working up towards that way. So you have to, yes, we have a theme for some of the magazines. So you got to come up with a theme. I have to pick the patterns that I'm going to use for my projects in there. And then I try to coordinate some of those with some of the projects that I ask for the contributors so that we're all flowing in there. So I think I have about, in each issue, I have at least three different themes or three different areas that we're focusing on, and get a couple of people to do garments that are in that area or tutorials that are in that same area, so that it gives you a little bit of option of what you're looking at. Like we have an upcoming issue in one section we did polka dots. And so there's about three different people who did polka dot polka dot things. And then if they did a hack to their pattern, they have a tutorial on that part. Then we have one coming up. We have stripes. We have one coming up where July, August, that's going to be really nice because we're doing a Frida and we're doing a pop art section. So that's going to be really exciting. But yeah, so you have to do the themes. Then you have to manage all your contributors that are submitting information to you. Then you have to make sure they're submitting the correct information. So you have someone that's going through that information. And then you're still dealing with all the incoming things. So it's, if your time management is off, you like lost from the start. So yeah, you there's a lot and you do have to stay on top of it. So every now and then, I forgot one person that helps me out. I do have another person that helps me out if I need her to edit. Her name is Hannah, and she sometimes helps me out if I need someone to edit. But yeah, there's a lot, and time management is key. It's so key when you're doing this. But it's a lot of things. You have to, I'm printing out, I'm making up. Right now, I am doing all the artwork in the magazine. I have had someone do the cover a couple of times, but for the most part, it's, you know, it's because like I told you, I'm a control freak. So I'm like, I'll get something. I was like, no, I have to do this. I have to do this. So yeah, it's a lot of work. If you want artwork in the pages, then you have to get someone to do the artwork. So there's a lot of people that really should be involved that I don't have. So eventually, you know, I'm hoping that that happens.
I think it will. I mean, this project is still in right. its early stages, right? And I can tell just from listening that you have a lot of plans and things that you want to do, and things will evolve. And I'm sure you'll get there eventually and be able to let go of a few things. It's so hard when you're working with something that's like your baby, you know?
Absolutely.
So this begs the question, is this your full-time job?
That's a funny question. No.
I'm sorry.
No. It's not my full-time job. It's funny. My daughter's friend came over here. We were working on the Cricut that we have. And she was like, Miss Michelle, she was like, when do you sleep? I was like, sleep is overrated. Who does that? You know? So no, by day, I'm a corporate trainer. So by day, I'm training people. And then when I come home right now, lately I've been coming home, I take an hour power nap and then I get to started on doing something a lot. Right now we just finished the issue. So it was a lot of doing the magazine work when I came home. So right now I've done with that for a little bit. So I'll take my power nap and then it's time to get downstairs in the sewing room or on the computer to do some work. But no, wow. I work a full-time job.
And is this something that you would like to one day be a full-time job, or are you envisioning this as a passion project for you?
Oh, no. This magazine right here, I want this to be a legacy. No, I really do. I wanted to, I'm working hard to make this something that my kids can take over or something. And, you know, that I would be able to quit my job and do this full-time. I absolutely would.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, we hope that for you too. And I don't see why not. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
One of the questions I have for you is, because this is such a huge project and it seems like you've poured just so much love and so much passion into it, I'm curious how creating this magazine has sort of changed your path in the sewing world.
Well, definitely because I'm spending more time on the magazine, I'm definitely not sewing as much as I used to sew. So, you know, that kind of, sometimes that kind of gets to me because I'm like, I got too much to do. I can't sew. And, you know, so sometimes that's a little stifling, but that's the biggest change that it has done to me. But I've met more people with this magazine than I ever could have, I think, met with just my blog. Definitely met more people in the sewing world.
Mm-hmm. And what has the response been like from the community after you launched the magazine and up till now?
In the beginning, it was, of course, my first issue that sold, that was the best issue that I sold. Like, cause everyone was excited about that. And, you know, you know, it was all new. So I sold way more than I thought with my first issue. And then, so sales are steady. So it's, I got people who are buying it and they are still buying it, but I do need to broaden my horizons and get more customers. And so I can get this to be where I want it to be, but, it's steady. It's steady right now. And I think they're receptive. It seems like they want it more when I don't have issues.
That's how it always goes. Yeah.
Okay, well, we have a lot of listeners and I really want them to go out and check out your website and hopefully buy a magazine. So how can they get it? Is it just through your website?
It is. So right now I'm 100% a hard copy magazine. And the reason why I'm a hard copy magazine is because I know me personally, I'm a visual person. I know I need something tangible in my hand to appreciate it the way that I know I should. So that was one of my main focuses. I said, I want this to be a hard copy magazine. So I haven't gone digital. Maybe I will do something digital in the future, but I'm not keen on doing that right now. So it is a physical magazine and it is pre-ordered. So that means I'm not buying 700 magazines and having them here in my house hoping that I'm selling them. So you have to order the magazine, and the website is sewnmag.com, and it's so simple. You click on the magazine tab, you can purchase a single issue, or you can purchase a subscription where you're automatically billed bi-monthly for the issue, and it'll take out the money every 2 months and you don't have to worry about logging onto the computer ordering the next issue, because I do get a lot of people that do that. So
there's something so nice about getting a physical magazine in the mail. It's like a little treat in your mailbox. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So because this is only a physical magazine, you mentioned that you publish it based on pre-orders, but how do you go about publishing it? Do you work with a company for that? Or, I mean, I'm sure you work with a
printed
company
in your
for
basement.
That. That's kind of a stupid question, but I guess I'm curious just like how do you do it?
Oh, wow. So yeah, a lot of research is involved in that, because what you're going to find out there when you want to publish something, if you're publishing something under 1,000 copies, not a lot of options. So I found a printer that I work with, and I'm so happy with the work that these people do. So it was a little bit of trial and error in there, but I did do a lot of research on that, because I tried to get someone that was local. I wanted someone to mail it out, and they were like, yeah, you're talking this amount of dollars. I'm like, okay, so I just need to mail it out myself. That's what you just told me. So that's what I do. But I found a really nice printing company that works well with me. I had no problems. Like, even I had an issue with a magazine and they ran it, they printed it, I got it, and I was like, this is not right. So, you know, they worked with me, they fixed it, they replaced the magazine. So I'm really happy with them at this time, because what I'm printing is not, I'm not going to get a big printing company. So there are companies out there you can get to produce your magazine, mail your magazine, do whatever you want with your magazine, but you just have to have the numbers in order to do that.
Well, that's great that they helped you out with that issue. I can only imagine how that must have felt. It must be so rewarding to get that first physical copy.
It is.
Before it goes out and see your hard work.
It is. It is. It actually is. And it's so different than looking on a computer. That's another thing. Like, when I got it, I was like, wow, I published a magazine. So it's so different than looking on a computer. And when I get them, I'm like, yes, yes. So yeah, that's really exciting.
That's awesome. And what would you say is your favorite thing about the magazine?
Let me tell you, from this idea from concept to completion is amazing. Like, the fact that I actually did it, like, sometimes that still boggles my mind that I'm publishing a magazine. And it's funny, because I'll go at work and if no one knows, and then all of a sudden they hear like, what? You know, so I think the fact that I did it is the most amazing thing. And then the fact that I'm in my second year, that's so much more amazing. And the fact that I'm able to put out a magazine the way that I want to put it out, with the twist that I have, and people are accepting of that, that's so cool. That's so cool.
That's a great answer. I mean, we can relate on putting something out consistently, and it is such a big challenge to keep going and to keep doing it. So, I mean, it is incredible, and congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And if any of our listeners maybe want to get in touch to lend a hand or contribute,
encourage you.
Yeah. How can they do that?
Absolutely. Everybody, the more the better. So you can reach me at info@sewnmag.com. That's our inquiry email. You can reach me at Michelle@Sewn Magazine. You can reach me at Michelle@thatblackchick.com. That's my blog email. I take all those emails there too, because that's what I'm in the most. But anyway, on the blog, you can reach the email. You can go to sewnmag.com. Click contact me. You can go to thatblackchick.com, reach contact me. If you don't have the email, just click it and just send me an email. And we're definitely open to new and interesting projects and people that we just want to showcase, somebody you want to see, someone you want us to showcase in the magazine. We're absolutely open to all different kinds of things.
Awesome. Okay. If any of our listeners are thinking about messaging Michelle, I want you to pause this episode and do it right now. Don't hesitate. So what is coming up this year for Sewn Magazine? I know you mentioned your pop art fun issue in the summer. Is there anything else you want to share with us for 2019?
Yeah, I think that's going to be an exciting issue. And then my denim issue, which is September, October. So looking forward to that. And then my second anniversary, I didn't do anything. That was my last anniversary. November, December 2017 is when I started the magazine. So my November, December issue, this 2018 was my anniversary issue. And that was the issue that stressed me out, the one that they had to give me a new one, right? So I was like, I was so stressed out with that issue. But this issue for November, December, like, I got magical things planned, because I want to show in the magazine this is our 2-year anniversary and that we made it 2 years. So I'm really excited about that. So I got, I got some big plans coming up with these magazines. And if anybody want to join in, the more the merrier. And, we're always willing to help, to entertain anything that'll make the magazine that more special.
Awesome. That's so great. We really look forward to seeing what you do this year. And 2 years it's going to be magical. It's such a huge accomplishment. So yes, we can't wait to see that issue as well.
And the denim, we know you love denim.
Oh yeah, denim. Yes. Okay, let's talk about denim a little bit, because I also love denim, but I feel like you love denim on a different level.
Yeah.
So why is it that you love working with denim so much?
You know what? I don't know, but what I remember in my childhood is that I had these pair of Levi overalls that, like, let me just tell you how I tried to hang on to these overalls, like, forever. Like, I sewed extra denim fabric on the bottom of these overalls. And I remember these things, like, I wore them all the time. So I remember them. But ever since then, I don't know. Denim is my fabric of choice. If I could live in it every day, I would. It's just, it's comfortable. It's so many different hues. And nowadays, we got so much going on with denim that it's like, you can do whatever you want to. So, it's always been my favorite to work with. And I just love it. Like, I have a ceiling of denim. If I could put denim on my walls, I would. But my
like, your ceiling is actually denim?
Absolutely. My ceiling is denim. And it was funny because I went and bought, I went to a outlet store because I didn't want to spend a whole lot of money on the denim. And I was like, all right, let me see how many colors you got. So I bought all this denim, all these different colors. And I was like, I'm going to cover the ceiling. I'm not going to tell my husband. So I started, I started stapling the denim to the ceiling.
That's very subtle. I can't think of how he could have ever noticed that happening.
So I started staping it to the ceiling, and I was like, I was deciding if I was going to go for a pattern. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to throw up and mix up all the denim. And he came home. I was like half done the corner over here. And he looked and he said, I just don't get a say in anything, do I?
Oh, he'd get along with my partner.
I was like, but yeah, I don't know. It's always been a fabric of choice for me. And yeah, I try to make a lot of things in denim.
Yep.
Garments, home decor, right? You name it.
Right, everything. Oh, that can be in denim. No.
It's also such a great refashioning textile because there's so many jeans out there. Absolutely. And they're really easy to pick apart and make into fun things.
I have jeans for my kids when they were like little. My oldest son is 21, my youngest son is 20, and I have jeans from when they were like toddlers. I still have jeans from the toddlers.
Aw, don't cut those up.
They're at the bottom of my pile, so I don't think I'll ever get to them.
The pile is chronological.
So speaking of fabric and your amazing fabric stash, what are some of your favorite places to shop for fabric?
Some of my favorite places... I was going to say I shop at Joann's, but that's because it's around the corner. So that's not my favorite place to go. But when I learned about Fabric Mart, I was like, this is the devil. That's what that is. That's just the devil. Because that place always having a sale. Like you could get a sale anytime. You're always getting something. So Fabric Mart is one of my definitely one of my favorite online fabric stores. But here in right outside of where I live, right outside of Philadelphia, in Mount Airy, there's a local fabric store called Gaffney, which is an institution to the city. That's one of my favorite places to go locally. And I'm so glad we still have this resource locally. And then in the city, there's a few fabric places no one knows about. But online, I would say Fabric Mart is one of my favorites. I do use fabric.com, but sparingly I use that.
I find fabric.com really overwhelming. Yeah. There's so many options, but they do have like everything. So just have to dig a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm branching out to some of the stores because I'm a creature of habit because like I will always go to the denim section. We'll always, and I'm trying to venture out and use different fabrics. So like I just bought the Lady McElroy print that I had been seeing with the faces. I just bought that. So I bought that from Top Stitch Atlanta. And so I'm branching out with a few different, like I see the names that people use and I've never bought fabrics because I'm like, I don't even need that fabric. I just need denim and I need some cotton something, you know?
So do you tend to fabric shop with something in mind? Like, let's put aside denim for a second. Do you tend to think about like a type of print or a color that you want to buy? Or do you let yourself be inspired and sort of pulled into whatever fabrics you're seeing?
It depends on what's going on, if I have a project or something. But for the most part, I'm just like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, I'm going into a fabric store, which can be dangerous. And I'm just like, the most outlandish fabric is going to draw my attention. And sometimes I have to push myself back, Michelle, stop, don't buy that fabric. You don't even know what you're going to use it for. And maybe you can get it the next time you come, if it's still there, right? I do use that logic sometimes, but I very rarely go with an agenda when I'm buying a whole bunch of fabric. It's just like, it just happens. I have to be doing a project or something to get something specific.
Yeah. It's more fun to shop without anything in mind, right?
Yeah. I mean, you spend more money, but you know.
Another thing we were wondering if we could pick your brain about is Sojo, because we have an episode coming up about Sojo and what happens when you lose your Sojo and how to get it back. And we were wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Wow, that's a good one because it definitely happens. I think, so us bloggers and influencers, we start sewing. We probably start sewing without hesitation and we do it all the time because we just want to do it. And then when you start becoming bigger and you start coming, this is what expected of you, or you're working with people and this is what you're doing, it becomes more like a job, right? So right now, I'm torn between that. Like, this is a job right now, as opposed to when I was just making stuff and just putting it up there to show people. So I think when you get to that level, at least for me, I've experienced is that you can lose your Sojo like so easily because you're like, you know what? I don't want to sew not another stitch because I got projects due, but it just takes something out of you where it wasn't, you know, before it was really nice to sell. And now it's like, oh my God, this is my job. So sometimes it does get like that for me. And then, like I said, I have to make myself, you know, Michelle, go ahead and get down there. Cause once I'm in the zone, I'm in the zone. But getting to the zone sometimes is just, you know, I don't want to do it. Today I'll take off. But, you know, you just have to get back in there and maybe baby steps. I know some blogger, I think Brittany had put something out like just so 45 minutes a day or something like that. Maybe that'll help you get your sojo back. But yeah, it does happen. And I think just you got to just make yourself get in there. Just if you're just sewing something small, you know, get back in there.
Yeah, it's true. Taking that first step is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Yeah, often I find like I'll force myself to go in and sew and I'll be like, I'll just do it for 10 minutes and then 2 hours will pass and you won't even realize, right? So it is just sitting down at the sewing machine. That's the hardest part. Yeah.
Do you ever have timeouts with projects? Like, do you ever get to a point with something where you're just so frustrated you have to put it down?
Yes.
Kind of a silly question was going. I think we've all been there.
You know what? I'm not taking this collar out now. One more time. I'm just put this down. I'm just put this down and we're going to visit this another day.
I always get the most frustrated is if I sew something in backwards and pick it out and then sew it in backwards again.
Oh, yeah.
Then
oh,
I'm like, God. You know what? I am done.
I made a kimono one time and the funny thing is it was one of those easy to sew patterns and I'm like, oh, I'll get this will be done in an hour or so. And if I tell you that I sewed that, the edge part of it, I sewed that one 3 times wrong. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh my, I was like, if I wanted to rip that up. So yeah, I had to put that away for a couple of days. I was like, I'm not even touching that for a couple of days. But yeah, that, oh my goodness. And I'm like, yeah, don't let the easy fool you. I was like, I got a little cocky, you know, I got a little ahead of myself. You can take that word out. I thought I was like, it was going to be a breeze to get that done. And yeah, that pattern broke me down. Like it literally did. And, but I did, I conquered it at a later date. Cause I was like, this is not going to beat me.
Yeah. I think it's really good for people to hear stories like that because you might think that when you get to a certain level with sewing that everything is easy and it's all a breeze and you never make stupid mistakes.
Right.
But I do all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then you're like, really, Michelle, did you really just do that? Yeah.
So Michelle, you are so inspiring and I know that you are an inspiration for a lot of people in the sewing community with your style and your, you know, basically art pieces with your sewing. So I kind of want to know, who do you love to follow in the sewing community for inspiration?
Oh, wow. Who do I like to sew? Well, I'll tell you with blogging, who did I started with Mimi G back in 2013. So like she was the reason I knew that there was a sewing blog. And since then there has been a lot of people out there sewing. So let me see. You know what? Right now, so many people are popping up on Instagram. People who don't have a huge following, people who don't have that much. So I'm being inspired right now, honestly, by those people because they're like people I hadn't seen, and now in their forefront, someone's putting them up there in the forefront. So I don't have anybody specific that I'm following right now. There's a lot of people out there that I like.
Yeah,
and they're probably like people you never even heard of.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I think it's important, like as a community, for us to sort of seek out those people that are maybe don't have so many followers and sort of make sure that you're engaging with those people too, because sometimes someone might get on Instagram and get discouraged by maybe not getting a lot of comments or likes on their photos. And it's so important for us to all just kind of lift each other up. So I think it's great that you mentioned that because it's not all about the influencers and the bloggers. It's also everybody that's making this sewing community so great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because there's some dynamite people doing stuff, but you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, I just wanted to say that I saw that you and Maury met Mimi G.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too.
We did.
And yeah, Norris.
She came to Philadelphia and I was like, wow, well, that's right down the street. I was like, you know, going to go visit her. So we met. That was cool. That was cool. Oh, yeah. That was cool. Because I had I had talked to her, you know, quite a few times over the phone and everything. And when we got there and we met, it was so funny. It was so funny. They're really funny people in person.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I love following them. Yeah. They're so great. I think I would have a major fangirl moment if I got to meet Mimi in person. Yeah.
Maybe it'll happen one day.
Maybe.
So to end us off today, I'm curious, what have been some of the highlights of your sewing journey?
I think the biggest highlight is being introduced and learning that there is a sewing community. When I started, when I came back to sewing, look, I hadn't been sewing for like 20 something years. And it was, some of it was a rude awakening because I went to the store to buy a pattern and I was like, why is the pattern cost this much? Because when I was sewing before, it didn't cost this much. So I think that learning and being involved in the sewing community was amazing. It is amazing. I didn't know it was a thing. I really didn't. I didn't know about sewing blogging. So being embraced by the community is awesome. Learning to meet people, it's awesome. Pushing myself to do different things that are outside of my character or outside of what I had known before when I had stopped sewing is awesome. I'm learning new things, using new machines, using these big machines. So it's been a whirlwind of things and learning. I'm still learning. Like I never stop learning. So I'm always still learning. So it's been amazing. I honestly didn't know that this even exists before I got involved in it. Didn't know.
That is so cool. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be able to relate to that coming back into sewing after a hiatus and being like, right. Oh, there's all these people hanging out here. What's going on? Yes. And maybe the sewing machines will continue to just to get bigger and bigger. Who knows?
Absolutely.
Well, Michelle, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online?
Absolutely. You can find me on my blog. And I'm going to put this disclaimer out there. I know I haven't posted on my blog. It's not recent because the magazine takes a whole lot of my time. So I'm on Instagram like all the time. So you can find me on my blog at thatblackchick.com. And it's thatblackchic.com. No K. You can find me on Instagram at thatblackchick. I don't tweet. I hardly use Facebook, so you're going to catch me. If you want to reach me, you can email me. But if you want to catch my work and what I'm doing, probably Instagram and my blog is going to be your best bet.
Awesome. And you can follow the magazine at Sewn Mag on Instagram, too.
Absolutely. Sewn Mag on it. Thanks for putting that in there.
No problem. I got you.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. I think I speak for everyone when I say that we're very happy you discovered the sewing community and you are making such great contributions to everything that's going on in the sewing community. So we're really thankful for that. And thank you for chatting with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, ladies, for having me. And you guys are doing great things out there too. I love this podcast. And honestly, I'll be honest to say, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. So when Carolyn was on there, that's when I first started listening. And I was like, oh, let me check out a few issues. But it's really cool thing. And I think it's great that you guys are showcasing people out there who maybe have a voice, a different voice than other people have. So that's awesome.
Oh, thanks, thank Michelle.
All right. Well, you have a good evening.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Helen, at helenscloset.ca and Caroline at blackbirdfabrics.com.
We're recording today in sunny Vancouver, Canada. And you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you are enjoying the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
There are 12 episodes in there right now.
There's going to be another one pretty soon after this episode goes out. Our April bonus episode.
Our show is produced thanks to Sam Humphrey.
Thank you, Sam.
And thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I just dropped my stress ball.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Stand in blooper.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Bloop.